the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am your host, Caroline Hobby. I know music, I know people, and I know the questions you want to ask. So let's get hyper. Heads up, these are adults having adult conversations, so there could be adult content. This episode, I have 1,000 horses joining me, and I'm so stoked they're here. They had a big hit last year called Smoke. They're on tour currently with Jason Aldean, and they're basically a band of brothers. They've been friends since they were just kids, and I happen to be married to the lead singer. So I'm so excited to welcome 1,000 horses to the show. I'm here with 1,000 horses. Don't look at my questions, Bill.
Okay.
I'm tweeting.
So do you guys get that, like, here comes the stampede, here comes the herd of horses, here comes...
stampede a lot.
Kelsey Ballerini said that we were...
She Snapchatted us
the other day.
She called dibs.
She called dibs? Who did she call dibs on?
Well, we got Snapchatted.
On the Snapchat horse train.
Yeah. Okay.
She got us walking down there. We look pretty good.
Yeah, I mean...
Pretty mystique.
The horse joke majestic thing is, like... That's pretty regular.
So what are their usuals?
I mean, well, that's too many horses.
Where's the other 996?
Where's the other 996?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What a long face.
Oh, it's gonna really, you're going to really stink this place up with a 1,000 horses.
That's a lot of
horse shit.
We have to do some sweeping.
How are you going to fit all those horses on stage?
Oh, God.
We also got called 1,000 cowboys by
the radio.
Yeah. DJ.
Okay.
This was before anything. Yeah. We were opening up for Kip Moore in Boston in... Huge show, great night for us because it was a shitload of people and Kip crushed it. It was like
people.
A big, I mean, it was sold out, and we're like, yeah, high five. And the radio or DJ, whatever from the whatever the show was, went up there and said, y'all give it up for 1,000 cowboys, and we were like,
the crowd booed.
The crowd booed.
Yeah, they got booed.
Which I was like, fuck yeah, Boston, boo this man. But,
okay, so we're with 1,000 horses. Yeah, you can cuss. This is a podcast.
On a podcast.
Yeah, so say all the cuss words you want to do right now.
I don't cuss. I'm usually pretty, you know.
I don't really take the curse.
Zach's the straight laced guy in the band.
Yeah. I don't try to celebrate them, you know. But, you know, every now and then they come out.
You don't let have them to flip celebrate.
You don't have to celebrate.
You don't have to celebrate it, Frank.
Okay, I want to start off with a little bit of some games.
All right, perfect.
Oh, boy, I like games.
Yeah, Bill.
I can't help it.
You cannot look.
It's like a TV on in a bar for me. I'm like glued to it.
Okay, if you could have one thing forever in an unlimited amount, what would it be?
Money.
For sure. Cash. Cold, hard fucking cash.
You didn't even hesitate, Bill.
I could you can do a lot of things with unlimited money.
I'd take wishes from a genie because that's better than money.
Good
unlimited
one, Zach.
Oh, yeah.
If I have
something
money
can't money, even buy.
I could buy your genie.
You can buy your wishes.
You can't buy a genie. A genie is magical.
Genie is magical.
If you have wishes from a genie, you can wish for, like, to be able to fly.
I would want a starship to take me all over the universe.
So you'd have an unlimited
but
starship.
But you would need my unlimited money supply
to make that. Or I could just get a genie and I could just...
Guys,
but Zach could grant Graham a wish from his genie so he could fly around.
And I would just say I want
your cash because Jack's got a genie.
Also, I could take away all your wishes with my genie.
Actually,
Bill has no money.
You think this is the genie trump card? Okay.
With the genie, though, you could wish for unlimited money.
I would say,
exactly.
Yeah.
I would say
you
genie.
Wish for all the other things.
Unlimited wishes from a genie would be the ultimate.
Okay, now I'm starting to shoot holes in this. I don't think I can do it.
Yeah, your tarp is leaking.
Unlimited wishes from a genie. You can't.
Only a psychopath would think of that. That's cool.
That's great.
That's cool. That's good.
Okay. Boxers or briefs?
Definitely.
Boxer briefs, actually.
Boxer briefs. So take them, combine them.
Well, they make a hybrid now. It's called a trunk.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm
similar
wearing?
Well, it's definitely holding the trunk. You know what I'm saying?
It's definitely to a boxer brief.
Oh, my gosh.
It's similar to a boxer brief. It's just, you know, there's not as much leg.
I think I can say, too, I might be one of the only women who has seen all of y'all in your underwear.
That's true. That's true.
You're the only interview we've done where I've seen us all in our underwear.
Literally seen all of y'all in your underwear.
You don't have to be nervous and picture us in our underwear.
Because I know exactly what that looks like.
Yeah, you know exactly what kind of underwear I wear.
I do. I wash your underwear.
You do wash it.
That's.
I'm married to Michael. For anyone listening,
we're married.
We're married.
But we're taking this serious.
We are. Because I was going to ask you, are you, you know, you hooking up on the road?
Yeah, all the time. When my wife's out.
Hooking up amps and.
Yeah,
pedal boards,
hooking up cables, you know, hooking up people with other people.
Yeah.
A lot of hooking up.
Hooking people up with tickets all the time.
Yeah, hooking people up with tickets.
So a lot of hookups, really.
A lot of hookups.
Just not what one would think.
Yeah.
Have any of y'all been to jail?
Yeah,
Zach, exactly, you've been to jail?
Yeah.
What?
Absolutely.
How did I miss this story?
Well, I went to jail, I went to the Atlanta City Jail for a night and spent the night there.
Was that fun?
It was fun. Oh, it was great. Yeah. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It was great accommodation.
It was great.
It was, I didn't really do anything. So I was there and I was like, it's going to be fine because I didn't really do anything. So
why did you go to jail?
It's a long story. I got jumped by a club owner after a show we played.
And things got out of hand.
Things got out of hand. We had the big band fight with the bartenders in the club.
This is pre 1,000 Horses.
This is before.
Sounds like a scene from a movie.
It was.
This also sounds like a likely story.
Did you tap two Coke bottles together too? You know, warrior.
Yeah.
What's that?
Absolutely.
It's a warrior.
They ran and got their in-house cop, so he was on their payroll, and they said, "Hey, this guy hit me," and they took me to jail.
Did you hit him?
No, not so first. He jumped on me, and I threw him on the ground like a.
Didn't you have to go to? Wait, you got arrested in Florida too.
Well, that's a different.
Oh, yeah. You've been more than once.
I went to jail in without my shirt on to the Atlanta City Jail. It was awesome.
That's pretty rough.
Did you get hit on?
No, I didn't. But when I walked around the corner, the entire room of like people, there was like 300 dudes in there, and they go, "Russell, what'd you do?" Oh, they thought they were to call me Russell Brand.
Oh my god!
I had
gosh.
Long hair at the time and. It was,
Russell, what did you
do? They thought you were Russell Brand.
They were like, "Russell, what'd you do, man? Oh!" They freaked out.
That's kind of awesome you went to jail.
Yeah.
I've never seen a...
You got a tattoo?
Well, it was something I always want. I was curious about.
Something I was always curious about.
I am not curious about.
It was so surprising. I was a little taken aback because the cops were treating me like a criminal. And I was like, "Why are you treating me like a criminal, man? I'm just like, what? I don't even know why I'm in here.
I'm just
a long-haired asshole.
I'm not supposed to be in here. Someone's going to come get me soon."
This is not where I belong.
I even had breakfast there. They gave me a bologna sandwich and an applesauce.
You ate jail food?
Yeah.
Dang,
how was
that's
it?
Pretty legit.
Not good.
He was getting into his role.
Not good. By that point, I was like starting to accept. I'm like, well, I'm just in jail now. I'm like, I'm here. I'm just like
did Marissa. Did they give you a shirt to put
started
on?
Making friends.
Did you stay topless?
They gave me a hospital gown to put on. So I was a real psychopath. I had my jeans all ripped up.
That might have worked in your favor, actually, that you looked like a real crazy person.
I went up next to like the biggest guy I could find. He was all bloody, and he was like, I punched a cop at the Kings of Leon concert, man. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm crazy.
I'm wearing a hospital gown with no shirt on.
Nah, don't mess with me. You don't even want to know what I did.
So you're glad you got it off your bucket list.
Yeah, exactly. I got it off my bucket list. I don't need to do it again.
Okay. Okay, if you guys had someone film a movie about 1,000 Horses, who would play y'all?
Oh, man.
You can speak for each other, too.
Let's see.
Brad Pitt, obviously.
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt would be my role.
I think Leo for you. Leo DiCaprio.
Leo would be Greg. Greg. Big fans of both.
Yeah. Clearly Russell Brand for you, Zach.
I guess, yeah.
Jason Lee's going to have to play Graham.
Yeah, that's
for sure.
Or Dave Grohl, but he's not an actor.
Yeah, just get Jason Lee in his almost famous character. Just do that all over again.
That's you.
Yeah.
Or Jesus.
What's the guy that you built, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, what's his name?
The dad from Honey, I Shrunk the
Kids. I was going to say Jason Schwartzman, but okay.
Actually, he'd be good, too.
Yeah, he'd be good.
That'd be really good.
Jason would be a great me.
I'd have The Rock play me.
The Rock.
Makes sense.
No, you would get... Who would be Zach? See, Miles Teller could be a good Zach.
Who's Miles Teller?
The guy from Footloose.
And
from
Whiplash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whiplash.
Oh, yeah, he
well,
could
okay,
be.
Well, okay, just go with John Stamos. You'll be 16.
Oh, John Stamos.
Ooh, John, yeah.
Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jay. I'm really excited about the new Full House, too.
I know.
It's Netflix original.
You guys did a little videos on your Instagram about this, so I want to do it on my podcast. Tell me the first thing. Don't repeat what you said on the Instagram. Tell me the first thing that comes to mind about each band member. Everyone do Bill first.
Messy.
Messy. The first word that comes to mind about Michael.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm wordless.
Martini. Martini. Michael Martini.
Michael.
That's what we're going to start calling you now.
Martini Mike.
Yeah. That's not a bad nickname, actually.
Yeah.
All right, what about Graham?
Y'all didn't even say one. Martini, that's it?
No,
that's all I got. Is it Martini?
No, you get it.
Let's see. What else? Well, that was my word. I don't know.
Exactly.
I think it's more because it's that one martini right now.
Yeah. Well, we are in the palm.
Yeah.
The bowl of vodka.
Let's see.
I don't know. Hat. You're a hat guy. I think about a hat.
Martini.
You're going to be a hat icon
martini
one
hats.
Day.
Martini hat.
Martini hat Mike.
I don't remember what I said on Instagram.
I don't either.
He said he liked to party.
No, we said he liked to party.
He said I like to party. Power. Powerful.
There you go, Michael. You're powerful.
Thanks, guys. Really like, so I'm a drunk, hat-wearing, powerful guy.
Let's move on to Graham.
Oh, boy.
Graham.
Bring it on.
China.
China.
Graham is like a, he's like a docile creature that lives in the woods.
Okay.
Yeah, you do live in the woods. You're like a wood elf or something.
I like that. That sounds magical.
You're a wood elf.
A wood elf.
Bear, which a bear lives in the woods. Like we're woods.
Yeah.
We should start calling you woods.
I'm an outdoorsy kind of guy.
You could be woods.
Woods.
I'm kind of furry.
And you're kind of like a dog whisperer.
Martini Mike, woods, nasty. What do we got?
Okay, what do we got for Zach?
I'd say like maniac. Yeah. That's a good word. Not maniacal.
Hawk.
Not in a bad way.
Yeah.
Oh, hawk.
The all-seeing eye. I see everything from above.
Freedom.
And really, but really aggressive.
Okay, so you guys just got a whole new slew of nicknames.
It's true.
Okay, so let's start with the band. Y'all formed 1,000 Horses in 2010.
Yep.
And y'all been playing in bands since you're kids. I know Bill and Graham, y'all are first cousins.
We are.
And Michael and Bill, you guys grew up in Newberry together.
Newberry, South Carolina.
So, and Zach, you're in Atlanta. You came on board a little bit later.
Yes, I did.
Lawrenceville.
How did you three get together and decide you're going to do music? Because it happened early on.
Bill and I met at a music store, and we would just meet there. There was nothing else to do in our town, so we would meet there every day. And
mess their guitars up.
And mess their play every guitar in the place and try to teach. I mean, we were learning guitar at the same time. And so that's how our musical relationship started. And then Graham would come up every summer. He was into music, so we would sit and steal beers out of Bill's dad's refrigerator.
Which, how old were y'all?
Yeah,
I was maybe 14,
15.
That fridge keeps
the coldest beer.
The coldest beer. It's unbelievable.
The fridge,
it's from the 70s.
Yeah.
They
made them different back then.
It's literally been running since the 70s.
Yeah. But, you know.
So we would listen to records and play music together then. And then Bill and I moved to Nashville in 2005. Graham moved in 2006. We met Zach in 2010 through a mutual friend, and that's when we formed 1,000 Horses.
So why Nashville over L.A.? Because you guys started off more like Southern Rock-ish. That's Southern Rock country.
Yeah, I'm still Southern Rock.
Well, I think that Nashville, you know, was closer to home than L.A.
Yeah.
You know, so that helped.
Yeah. And we met a guy that wanted to record us, so that's why we came to town. And Bill and I just came to town. We thought we were going to be here for a month. And, you know, 10 years later, I'm still here.
Yeah.
And you guys skipped on college. Y'all said, peace out. You got out of high school. Didn't you, like, graduate high school from Nashville or something?
Yeah, well, I finished high school over the internet. I was an amazing student, so I had, you know, very, very high grades, and they just, you know, I just finished high school over the internet, and it was all good to go.
And, Michael, you sweet-talked your way through passing high school, didn't you?
I may have been persuasive.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, so then y'all scooped up Zach.
Scooped up Zach.
2000 when?
Ice cream scooped
Zach. Scooped
him
up.
You're the cherry on top.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
And what happened once you all four got together?
Well, we went to Los Angeles together to make an EP because we were signed to Interscope at the time. It was our first record deal.
And that's where y'all met Dave Cobb.
And that's where we met Dave Cobb, who's
Now he's on fire.
Sure. Yeah.
You guys, Chris Stapleton.
Up for a Grammy this week.
Up for a Grammy, yeah.
Heck yeah. So you guys start, the horses started his trend. Success.
I'd like to say that we gave him his jump start.
Yeah.
But yeah, and we actually, that's how we got to know each other, is by living together in a hotel in Los Angeles for 3 or 4 weeks and
Grafton on Sunset.
Grafton, yeah. And some martinis and a
couple tequila sunrises.
Yeah. The Rainbow Room.
Yeah.
And during that time, y'all had a song in the movie Footloose.
Correct.
We did.
So that was exciting.
Yeah, song Suicide Eyes is in the movie Footloose, which was a big win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool to like go to a movie premiere.
That was still our only movie premiere.
I know. We need more movies, damn it.
Yeah.
I
want
to go to more movie premieres.
Yeah.
We got the theme song for Gainesville. We didn't get to go to the.
Oh yeah, you have the theme song for the CMT show. Gainesville.
I've never even been to Gainesville.
That sucks.
CMT needs to fly me to Gainesville.
Some injustices.
You guys were on the road for a long time, like in a van.
Oh yeah, years.
What did that look like? How long, and what was van life like?
It looked
van life, which
like,
I forget.
My body still reminds me of every morning.
I mean, it was equally as much fun as it was like
grueling.
Like we had
awesome.
No money. We were sleeping like it was the dead of winter in Toronto, and we were all sleeping in the van.
Ugh.
Like on the street, I mean, there's like people around us, like partying, you know, all night, and
sleeping on the floor because like
the
floor, when it was cold, the floor would get hot.
You couldn't even afford a hotel.
No,
not sometimes.
Well, our first tour for $100 a night.
Yeah,
$100. Who
opening
was your first tour?
Taylor Mobson,
the Pretty Reckless.
Pretty Reckless,
and they were super awesome.
They were great.
And helped us out because they would give us like their bus driver's room, so we'd like sleep in a dirty bed, you know, whatever. But you know, it's
$100 a night. I don't even know how we did it.
That does not cover costs.
We didn't eat.
I mean,
we would eat whatever there's left at the
gas
menu.
There was a time. I remember that time in our life. That was like when we would like willingly like eat off of other people's plates because we were broke.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
finish that sandwich,
actually true.
I'll eat that.
And if we got a hotel room, which we always got, we would get their bus driver's hotel room, which was super cool of them to give us. And it's just one big king bed, so like three of us would sleep in a bed. Zach would sleep on the floor.
Another guy be
and
like
we would,
in the chair.
We would just
the
take
corner.
The sheets off of the bed and just sleep on the naked mattress.
Which is almost worse.
That's almost worse. There's bed bugs and mites and stuff. And who knows what else might
happen. Oh, yeah.
We live through
what
it.
What do they say? A bed gains like 10 pounds a year or a pound a year because it's all your skin and stuff.
Ugh.
So your mattress gets heavier. So think about how gross those mattresses are with all those different people. Well, just,
you know, a lot. We also like came up with a lot of ideas in that van. Like being in that place was motivating to be in a better place. So you're always, I mean, it's almost like a think tank every day.
Absolutely. Yeah, you trap four cycles
you're
in
driving,
a small space. And
yeah, you're driving
we
four to, you know, 5 to 10 hours every day. You talk. We never listened to the radio. We always just talked about
it. Because the radio didn't work.
The radio didn't work.
So you're
no, we had the FM radio worked.
Yeah, but it had one speaker.
One speaker
one
in the door.
Or,
no, the driver.
We couldn't afford to fix it. So we were like, shit, all right.
This was like pre-iPhone, too.
No, we had an iPhone. No, dude, we didn't. What, 1982?
This is before the wheel was invented.
All right, Bob Seger, what else?
The funny thing about that van is we, so before we got signed.
So it's 1984.
We're
driving. Because you had 2 record deals. Is that what you're talking about?
This is our first record.
Before we got signed with Big Machine, this was like 3 years ago, we went in with Dave, and we were like, Dave, let's, you know, We had been, you know, we'd gotten CAA to book us, and we had
McGee
to manage us.
Manages.
And we're like, let's go, and we've got these awesome new songs, and like, you know, the few people that did know us were like, we want new music, and we're digging the new songs live, so we're like, let's just put out another EP on our own. We can come up with 10 grand, 15 grand, whatever it costs to make this whole thing.
We did a Kickstarter.
And, we did a kick. One of
this
is after.
This is after that.
This is after the Kickstarter. I'm saying. Remember when we got in the van and we're like,
we got the van.
And
we're like, we
got
to make a record.
Here?
So we were like, how much money would it take to make an album? And Dave was like, well, I don't really even give a shit. Just pay for the players.
He didn't charge
no,
really.
He did it for free.
He's like, let's pay for a keyboard player to
That's
come
amazing.
In and like.
So we were on the phone. I never forget. We started the album at Dave's house.
Yeah.
And we between takes, we would be on the phone with credit card companies. All of us trying to get, like. You know, $1,500 here, $5,000 here, and like Zach was like our big bank. We were like, fuck, Zach will be able to get the big one because
and
because
close
of your
the deal.
Photo
had
business.
My business credit card.
He had his business credit card, but they told him no, it's just like they told us. Yeah. So we finally get approved enough for a little bit of money, cash from the bank. And then our manager was like, well, I'll throw in with you. So we come together with this money, make this album, getting ready to pump it out. It's mastered. Then our manager
Big
played
Machine
it.
Heard it.
Big yeah. Machine heard it and signed us.
So you guys were going to put it out independently.
Yeah.
Our goal was like, we can sell 2,000 copies of this thing and make our money back.
That was it.
In a year. We can't do that in a year, then we got to, hand to hand, just rocking it.
You're just going to grassroots it.
Yeah.
Right.
And
you
we had
no
tours.
Intention.
CAA was keeping us out on the road, so that was another great thing, is like we had dates in front of us.
Yeah.
No intention of getting a record deal. Obviously,
we wanted to, but like we were like, our goal was, 2,000 copies, we pay everything back, everything after that.
Who knows what happens from there.
Still in the van, and we went out. And then, that decision to make an album is why we have a record deal and why we are where we are right now.
And that's kind of a big decision, because a lot of people are scared to do an independent album. A lot of people are scared not to have a big label behind them.
Well, we were kind of saying that, like, the band has always, we've figured out that it's best just to do what you think is natural and nice.
Yeah.
We were like, well, we have to have music. Let's just put it out. I mean, what's it going to hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, worst case scenario,
honestly, it's a fearless mentality, because, you're right. A lot of people don't want to take that risk to be in a financial crunch or a situation. But we've never really thought that way. We've always been like,
how can we move forward?
You can make $100 a night work, you can make anything work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
When it comes to being out on the road. So,
and
we knew
no
we
point
would just.
In, like, just doing nothing.
Right.
You know, you got to do things.
With your life.
With your life.
If you're sitting around waiting.
We don't know
something.
How to do anything else. So, like, I feel like I'd work for Zach to make extra side money in this photo booth company.
Zach, you have a photo booth company.
Yeah.
I started a photo booth company to
Zach employed.
Play, so I could play in a band. I started when I was like 21, so I could be on the road and play music and
not have to go to a 9-to-5.
Yeah, exactly. Have enough money to eat.
Yeah, I was Dave's, like, for a while.
Dave's,
like, studio
rat.
I would basically, like, go in and he'd be like, he'd call me for, like, for instance, like, I did the Jason Isbell. Like, I was, like, the runner or assistant or whatever guy.
For the Jason Isbell record.
For the Jason Isbell record, Southeastern.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, and he was like, just come in and, like,
bring
clean the bathroom, like, bring breakfast in the morning and, like, get their lunch orders. Like, I remember I went and picked up, like, Jason's tux for his wedding and, like.
Really?
Yeah, restrung all the guitars. And then I would, like, when they were recording, I would go in there and, like, watch them. In the control room, it was amazing.
So you saw the album being made.
Yeah,
he's in the credits.
I didn't see all of it.
Tom Petty read his name.
I'm sure. We think at least he listened.
He
to
tweeted
the album,
the picture of it too, and Bill's name's right there.
So
he saw it.
Almost connected to Tom Petty.
Yeah, he says thanks.
2 degrees from Tom Petty.
Tom Petty might have read my name.
But that's the thing about the family of it all and the community of it. I was like, we all helped each other where we could help each other, like in any given point. I mean, Dave didn't have to. Let Bill get sandwiches for Jason Isbell, and Zach didn't have to hire.
But he knew I needed money, so he just gave me some work to do.
And he didn't have to give me cash to run photo booths. It was just kind of like, well, fuck, you want to come hang out?
So you guys have just been trying to make it work financially until this music thing can take off.
Totally,
we're still trying to make it work financially.
That is a big myth. Everyone thinks you have like a big hit, and all of a sudden you're driving on Jaguars, flying private. What's the real truth?
I bought two Ferraris.
Yeah,
already.
Well, the overhead goes up. It costs a lot of money to be on the road.
Yeah.
We got a crew, we got a bus, we got the whole thing, so.
I mean, it works like any other business. We've gotten to a point where we've scaled up now. So, yeah, like he said, the overhead goes up. I mean, things change in different ways.
Yeah.
And, I mean.
We're not sleeping on hotel room floors anymore, though, I'll say that.
Yeah.
The quality of life has
improved
vastly.
How is bus life compared to van life?
Honestly, I love it.
The van life is the best.
Yeah, I mean, shit.
It's the closest thing to teleportation that exists.
Yeah.
You go on your bus, you fall asleep, and you wake up in a new place. It's better than, like, flying. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's true.
We love our bus.
That's the best part, yeah.
So, I heard, actually, I think I witnessed, Michael, you had a night terror one time, and you tried to remove Zach from his bunk?
I did. Because, you sleep in a little coffin, and I'm claustrophobic, so I don't like small spaces. And I apparently had a pretty intense dream and thought I was trapped, and I literally pushed the bunk, Zach above me, out of the grooves, and Zach jumps out thinking he killed me.
That the bunk had collapsed down on him. Like,
oh, no. Oh, did you really think you killed him?
So he wakes me.
I was like, did my bunk just fall on him? Because that's gonna hurt bad.
He wakes me up from it, and he's like, "Are you all right?" And I was like, "Yeah."
I mean, for anybody listening that doesn't know, when you're like a bunk on a bus is like a small hallway, and they're like bunk beds, but they
yeah.
They kind they're on top of like, the there's six on each side, you know,
it's
one,
like a
two, three from bottom to top. And they kind of, like, I guess, snap into place.
It is a lot like a
coffin. So if you push up,
and
if you were to push up
the
really
only
hard,
thing that kept that from actually coming down on me was the plug.
Your cell phone charger.
Your cell phone charger at the end.
That
of
is scary.
Because we just went back to bed, and we woke up, and, like, his bunk's sitting, like, you know,
sideways.
At a sideways angle. And Kevin, our bus driver, was like, "What in the fuck did you do?" So we fixed it. But, yeah, it was a little nightmare.
So you guys have made a lot of friends along the way. Y'all toured with Lick, too, and they're your big buddies.
Yeah. Yes.
How was that tour?
Oh, that was
great,
awesome, man.
That was a great tour. They really helped us out a lot in that time period when we had lost our record deal and our management and our booking agent. They were coming back to do a big reunion tour, and they were like, "Well, you guys are going to come with us," which helped us get, you know, our CAA.
Mm-hmm. I lost your record deal. Y'all had signed with Interscope originally.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that fell through.
That fell through.
We were totally
this was 5-6 years ago. Or actually, no. What, 3 or 4 years?
4 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we toured with those guys all summer, which was an absolute blast.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they're awesome.
So, did you guys think your life was over when your Interscope deal fell through?
No, nah, man. Not
I mean,
at all.
It's disappointing, naturally, you know, when you have something that you're excited about and you lose it. But, I mean, I feel like we didn't want to let that slow us down. We just said, well, let's figure out another way to do it.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
In that point, in the face of failure in your eyes, even though it wasn't failure at all, it was just, you know,
The circumstances
beyond your control.
It's just like one more thing, you know.
You know, that's, in my opinion, that's when, like, you really regroup and you really focus in on, like, okay, what else am I going to do? And how am I going to do it? And how am I going to be better? Because, I mean, you can't let one thing stop you.
Yeah.
A few bumps in the road stop you from your dream. Or
that's
what?
A big bump, though. A lot of people might turn around and say, well, shoot, it's over.
Well, you know, honestly, I think it was a good thing. It gave us time to kind of, like...
It led us... That journey, that path led us to here.
Yeah, it took us here. And it gave us time to figure out, like, what we were doing, how we wanted to do it, what our musical approach was, what, you know, like, it was like a developmental period.
And that's when y'all made the independent album.
Yes.
And that's when we made our record. We made an EP and we made a record. We did whatever it took to continue on our dream and what we wanted to be.
So quitting music has never been an option.
No.
Quitting music. Or else we're like, you know, digging.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't like setting up photo booths.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, dude.
We actually did have a good time that one time.
Okay, so you said it led you to here. 2015. You guys have a huge year. The highest debuting single from a new act of all times. You signed with Big Machine Records.
Yep.
You put out the single Smoke, and it debuts at 28 on the charts.
Yeah,
can you believe this? Like, what are y'all thinking when it happens?
It was super crazy. We
had no idea what to expect. The label kept saying, they're like, well, you know, I mean, to get it in the top 30, it's like, that's going to be tough. And then, after that, it's just up to the people if they like it, you know, if they're buying it and they dig the song. And then it debuted at 28, and we're like, well, what does that mean?
They're like, oh, you set a record. It's like,
okay. What do we do now?
You know, for us, that's the biggest thing we've ever done. So we were like, 28, woo!
Yeah.
You know,
And a lot of people were scared of you guys. Like, no one wanted to necessarily sign you guys until Jimmy Harden, because you have a new sound.
You're
starting a new vibe.
We definitely were shopped around a little bit, and, you know, we're thought, you know, that was the crazy thing to do.
It's a lot of horses, man.
A lot of long face.
Horseshit.
Yeah.
Well, we kind of wanted to, like, you know, and that was one reason we made our own album, is it was like, you know, there's no sense, and we didn't feel like necessarily we needed to
wait on
anybody, you know. So we kind of thought, well, let's just make our own album and put it out ourselves, and, you know, if somebody comes along magically and it's like we get a record deal, that'd be great, you know. But other than that, we might as well just keep our head down and do our own thing. And then, you know, we met Jimmy Harden, and they've been, you know, great.
And he's been y'all's biggest cheerleader.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's amazing. And the whole label's amazing. Borchetta's amazing. that how that label runs and the support they put behind their artists is like nothing I've ever seen.
Oh, hold on.
Pause. Don't breathe, anyone.
Camera malfunction.
Out of
battery?
No, it just stopped. Okay. So, on your label is Taylor Swift, only the biggest act of all time.
T-Swift.
Oh, wow, yeah.
T-Swift. You guys have Thomas Rhett, who you are touring with right now.
Yeah, yes, yeah. We are.
Which is awesome. How's that tour going with Jason Aldean and Thomas Rhett?
It's going incredible.
It's the best.
It's the best. It's one of the biggest tours we've ever been a part of. And
the biggest
tour we've been a part of. It's amazing. Jason's incredible. His performance is incredible every night. He's a great guy. Thomas is the same thing. And he's, you know, to see where he's at and to see where you know, it's like, that's the dream. That's the goal. So it's been an amazing, you know, first month out with everybody. Yep.
So y'all toured with Darius Rucker all last year.
Hell yeah.
Tell me the difference between the two tours. What have you learned from both tours? Or what are you learning from Jason Aldean? What have you learned from Darius?
You know, Darius was awesome because he taught us. I mean, he's such a great guy. And he's such a humble individual. And, you know, I mean, he's been a superstar for 30 years.
It's crazy.
And you would never know it. You know, and he made everything like a team. Everything, like everybody's out here together kind of thing. And he really taught you how to be a humble, nice person, even when you're hugely successful. So that's the one thing it taught me about it was how to treat people, you know, no matter who they are.
Graham, y'all had a bromance.
A little bit.
Graham boots.
The guy literally put the shoes on my feet.
Yeah. He takes care of Graham.
Yeah, I don't know. He told me one time, he said that he was such good friends with his bass player and Hootie and the Blowfish, and he was like, I don't know, I just have a thing with bass players. So I don't know if he I mean,
he automatically was like, Graham,
yeah,
the first
he was
show
like, you, you know,
I choose you.
Yeah. No, but he's awesome, he's incredible, he treated us all amazing. Yeah. I mean, he's a badass.
What's the tour like with Jason and Thomas? What's the difference?
It's amazing. Well, it's well,
we just started,
yeah.
So we're all still in the process of getting to know each other.
The one surprising thing, I don't know if it's surprising or what, but like with Jason, I don't know what I was expecting, but, you know, compared to Darius, I mean, he's like, you know, only been doing it for, what, 10 years? Or
10 years,
long,
yeah.
Which is still, you know, he's obviously, you know, made it to the top level here, but, you know, it's cool to hear him talk about, he's like still excited about, you know, he's like telling us about how we're going to play, you know, two nights at Fenway Park, and he's super excited himself. He's like, this is going to be awesome, you know, I'm like,
yeah.
Like
and this, yeah, and the stories Coffee he shares, the stories he shares with, like, when he was doing clubs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like
we've all played a lot in the same places. Like, you know, it's like, that's kind of like the, I guess, the difference. So, but, I mean, he's just.
And he's, I feel like he still very clearly remembers all that stuff because it was not that long ago. You know, he was like, oh, you're from Savannah, Georgia? Oh, man, the Roundhouse. You know, I played there one time, opened up for Kenny Chesney. That was the coolest thing ever. I'm like, man, that's crazy.
It's like now we're like him opening up for him, you know what I mean, when he was where he was.
Yeah,
like we feel that, like, it's like, man, I can't believe I'm out here with opening up for Jason Aldean every night, like,
yeah,
starting the show out. So
don't you guys have some connection to Jason Aldean concert?
Bill and I went and saw him in 2005 when we first moved to town. He was on the Rascal Flatts tour at that point, and we knew the drummer Rich Redman, who still plays with him, and Rich was like, y'all come to the show in South Carolina. We drove home to South Carolina and went, and that was our first Aldean experience. That was right when Hicktown was out and popping.
Yeah. And now you're opening for him.
And now,
yeah,
10 years later,
we were his
first of three act. Yeah.
So you guys were nominated for a CMT Award, and y'all got to play the stage for the emerging acts. That was awesome.
Super awesome.
It was Group of the Year.
Video.
Best video.
Video of the Year. And now you are nominated for an ACM.
We are.
Best new group.
Yeah.
Can you believe this is happening?
It's crazy.
It's pretty insane.
We weren't expecting, you know, I mean, we obviously wanted to get nominated, it would be amazing, but we weren't expecting it, and it was a huge surprise, so we're so excited about it.
So yeah. Vegas.
And Vegas.
And Vegas, uh-oh.
What
I'm
are you,
here.
What
we're
are
all
you guys going to do if y'all win?
Win more.
On the table.
Yeah.
There you go.
Go put
push
it all on black.
Oh, gosh, if we won, that'd be crazy. I mean, obviously, so many great
acts in the category. We're just honored to be a part of, be in the category and be nominated.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a new single, Southernality.
Mm-hmm.
That's a made-up word. What does it mean?
It's a compound word.
It's a compound word. Southern personality. So we just kind of combined it into Southernality, which basically that song is about just like things we saw and observed growing up in the South. I mean, we're from South Carolina and Georgia. It you know, so with that culture and that is, but it's mostly just about being proud of who you are and where you're from, no matter where it is. I mean, you know, we just use things and imagery of what we grew up, you know, being.
Yeah. Sweet tea.
Sweet tea.
Laid back.
Yeah, laid back, you know. There's a lot of that everywhere, in my opinion.
And we're excited to have a kind of a, you know, the past few singles are, you know, kind of like more of the mid-tempo style.
Yeah, so we're
excited to have a upbeat.
To go into the summer in this tour with like a party song and like a, you know, kind of like an anthem type thing is what we want.
One thing I forgot to mention about the new tour you're on. You guys play basketball with Jason Aldean and Thomas Rhett? Y'all have teams?
We do. We just started playing basketball every day.
We're pretty bad.
We're really bad, yeah.
We suck.
I don't think
those
so.
Those guys are a lot better than us.
We're the tallest ones, but
that's
we're
good.
The worst ones.
Yeah, it's weird. They're like the cool kids over there playing like for real, and we're in the corner playing like,
you know,
knockout horse
or gotcha.
They all got their like Nike high tops and stuff, and I'm like wearing Umbros. And not Umbros.
We're laughing.
We're looking
in the gym.
Yeah. So we're a little out of place, but we're getting there.
I'm kind of fired up about starting
this
week.
And hopefully by the summer we can, you know, really step our game up. And
yeah.
Start studying some game tape.
Oh, yeah. Film it. Yeah. Go over your moves. Okay, so I want to wrap up. Thank you, 1,000 Horses, for joining me.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
I like to leave your light. So give me some inspiration.
Leave your light. I think staying focused on one thing is the most important thing, and just continuing to do that until it works out for you, and never giving up, you know, and always have your vision and just, you know, stick to the plan. It's kind of my
and stay true to yourself.
Stay true to yourself
while you're doing it.
And don't be a jerk.
Don't be
a never sit at a table when you can stand at the bar. That's mine. Also,
I like
that's
that.
I didn't make that up. That's a quote from
it's great. Whatever
is
it is.
A quote from, I don't remember.
Somebody great.
An author.
What does that even mean?
Hemingway, I think.
That sounds
like
it
means
like
don't sit at a table and be like closed off and like stay in your own thing when you can go stand at the bar and be like, hey,
meet
I'm
it.
Open
yeah.
to new experience, meet new people.
I love that.
It's a metaphor for life, really.
I love that.
Not just the bar. I mean, it's also a metaphor for the bar. Like, I hate sitting at a table when I can stand at the bar, honestly.
I love, you know that. I love sitting at a bar.
Love sitting at a bar.
Yeah.
You guys love a bar in general.
Oh, yeah.
Well, an Irish pub is a lot of fun. You know, a British pub is a lot of fun.
Yes, true.
The Martini Bar.
Martini Mike.
Hawk. Woods. Nasty.
We're at a Martini Bar. I'm getting
yeah.
I think it's time for a martini.
It's time.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Caroline.
Bye.
Thank you. Caroline, she's the queen of talking. Hey, what's on your mind? She's on the inside, she got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline.
That's a wrap for this episode. Thank you so much for joining me on Hyper Caroline Hobby. Next week is super exciting because we have a double episode featuring Old Dominion and Drake White. And you're going to find out if Old Dominion would rather be a giant rat or a tiny elephant. You're going to want to know the answer to that. So tune in next Wednesday. See you soon.